college basketball championships are not won in April and May. However, you set yourself up for success with some of the moves you make at that time. On today's show, we're going to look at BC basketball having one of their biggest days in the offseason with two big moves that are going to set them up for success in the future. We're going to get into all of that on today's show.
You are Locked On Boston College, your daily podcast on the Boston College Eagles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Locked On BC, I am your host, AJ Black. Happy Friday, everyone. This is a basketball-centric episode of Locked On BC because the men's basketball team had an enormous day, and I'm going to explain why on today's show. First of all, let's jump in with the big man. The big man right in front of us is Quinton Post. And on Thursday evening, he announced on social media that he is going to return back to Boston College. Now, Post is probably the most valuable player, and it's not even close, on this roster. And he went to social media, and this is what he said. Here's his quote. "To my beloved Boston College Nation, when this past season ended, I had a lot of decisions to make. BC has allowed me to pursue my dreams, and thanks to the support of my family away from home, my coaches, my teammates, and all of the fans, I entered my name into the 2023 draft to gain experience and feedback and prepare myself for the next level. I said at the time, and I meant it wholeheartedly, that the last 2 years at Boston College have been the two happiest years of my life. So let's make it 3 years. A special thank you to Coach Grant, the BC community, the fans, the students, the friends of the Heights for making this possible. One more year." And I didn't even catch that end. And I think that's important. So you're getting your big man back. You're getting a guy that really, when you look at what happened to BC basketball last year, it was really a tale of two seasons. When the news came out at the beginning of the year that Post was going to miss it because he missed some time. You know, he was, what did he call him? Day to day. I think it was the term he constantly used. Well, Post comes back after I don't want to say catastrophic, but pretty near catastrophic out of conference schedule. Where you lost to UNH, you lost to Maine, you lost to Tarleton State. He comes back and BC goes 9-10 in the ACC with three top 25 wins. And he was let's be frank, folks. Post was the difference maker. His ability to space out the floor, his ability to move the ball, to handle the ball and get the ball to other guys when all the defenses collapse on him, made everyone better. And he himself is incredibly dangerous on the field. On the court, excuse me. He can shoot, you know, obviously we've seen him dunk. He has a mid-range game. And he, you know, I think when you look at 7 foot tall centers, is one of the best 3-point shooters in the country. It was that Notre Dame game that I think he went 4 for 5 from 3-point range. When you got a guy this size that can space out the floor, that can make your guys better, that can also do things on the offensive and defensive side of the ball that you don't have anywhere else, that makes your team better. So this is absolutely huge, because if you took Quinton Post out of this equation, if he entered the NBA draft, if he entered the transfer portal, because I guarantee you folks, I haven't heard anything about it, but I am sure that there are bigger programs that were sitting there offering him money to transfer. You know that there are programs out there that could use a guy like Quinton Post, and they were hoping that they could pay him to come there. But the fact that he is back, the fact that BC gets their big guy back, the centerpiece of their team, and now everything else falls into place, and we'll get into that in a little bit. All of a sudden, every expectation you have, you've raised the bar for next year, because Post is going to be one of the best players in the ACC if he stays healthy all year. If he gets banged up and hurt again, you're going to be back to square one again. But the fact that he is coming back really sets up a nice roster. Will he get himself to be an NBA player? I mean, I said it on last episode, I think around when he went to the NBA draft, that at first I was like, nah, he's not that good yet. Like, I mean, there's plenty of Quentin Post out there, but there really isn't. His biggest asset is the fact that he is a 7-foot center that can shoot threes. That is something that NBA teams will go for. Will he be a first-round draft pick? Probably not. But I can imagine Post in a year going into the NBA draft and going in the second round and finding a spot at the end of a bench, being a nice situational player for an NBA team. I could see him evolving to that. But when I look at this, when I look at Post coming back, we'll get into everything else in a moment. He, to me, makes BC a bubble NCAA team next year. Because, as I've said on this podcast, right, if the Eagles didn't have him out, they would have won probably 2 out of those 3 terrible out-of-conference games. And they probably would have beaten Duke, too, because he didn't play in that game, or he played very limited minutes, the one they lost by 1. 3 wins, they would have been over 500. They would have been, you know, they would have been right there. They would have been right there for an NCAA bid. This season, you know, you have a manageable mid-level tournament with, like, Colorado State. Creighton will be tough. And I'm totally blanking on the last school. Someone will probably ping me and tell me what it is. But you win that, and then you play well in the conference again. And then all of a sudden, you're looking at a team that could, you know, make a run. But you had to have Post back. I think BC fans everywhere had their fingers, pinky toes, you know, they were praying to everyone and every saint they can think of that Post would come back. So in terms of big news, this was the biggest news, because anything else, you know, recruits, transfers, those are all nice pieces, but it all revolved around Post. If he didn't come back, you'd be back to square one again. You'd have all these pieces, but who, like, if he wasn't there, who would have been the scoring threat? Like, who would be the guy? Now everything falls into place. Now, in a moment, more good news. I'm telling you, folks, we're going to have good news all day long on this episode. So strap yourself in. It's a positive BC episode. But we're going to get into a new commitment that they landed on Thursday as well. I'm going to tell you why I'm excited about this new Eagle who will be starting up in the fall. Now, something else that is exciting to me is something's going on at built.com on April 22nd. I don't have all the details yet, but the excitement is real, and it's something you won't want to miss. And if you know how Built works, they have the most incredible protein bars in the world, and they do these amazing flavor drops with unreal flavors in limited quantities. They had the puffs, they have the regular bars. Like, I'm always clicking on their website to see what's coming up next, because they're like mad scientists over there. They got these great flavors, and I always want to see what they're coming up with, because even if it's something maybe I wouldn't go out there and get, I try it and then they sell it to me. It is amazing. Like, every time I get a Built bar, I'm never disappointed. So mark your calendars and head to built.com on Saturday, April 22nd, to be one of the first to discover what all the hype is about. I can't wait to see what the new flavor is. So make sure to use promo code LOCKEDON15 and you'll get 15% off your order. This is Locked On BC, AJ Black, and we are talking about basketball and their monster, I'm going to say really good Thursday. I don't want to say monster because, you know, it wasn't like they played a game, right? But before I get to that, I want to thank every one of you who has become an everydayer of Locked On BC, who make this your daily routine every morning. You listen on YouTube, you listen on a podcast. Thank you so much. I know sometimes following BC isn't the most fun. I try to make this podcast interesting, reflective, and kind of funny at times too. I have my sense of humor. I'm working on it, right? So thank you all. And if you haven't done so already, we are, last I checked, 11 subscribers away from YouTube. Hit that subscribe button right now. Let's get us to 1,000 by the end of this weekend. All right. back to recruiting news. BC basketball. BC basketball. Hold on a second. I just had an issue with my computer. All right, cool. Sorry. My watch all of a sudden was just texting somebody something I just said. So I was like, what the heck was this going on? So BC basketball, they land a new commitment on Thursday. Elijah Strong, a 6'8 power forward from Myers Park. I want to keep saying Fort Myers, from Myers Park in North Carolina. Now, this is another classic diamond in the rough late commitment that I like. This is a kid that put together some really intriguing late film and had some big, senior season moments on a really good team. He was on Fort Myers, Myers Park. Myers Park is in one of the top divisions in North Carolina. And he really excelled at that point. He excelled. And I think what he's going to give you really complements some of the other players you have on your team. So what I've heard, you've got guys like Armani Mighty, Jaden Hastings, defensive-minded guys who may be more of a liability on offense right now. Strong is a motor, first of all. He is going to be a guy that's going to fit into that gritty mentality that Boston College is constantly pushing under Errol Graham. But it sounds like he's going to be able to produce on the offensive side of the ball. Gives you a wing that can develop into a scorer, a guy that can hit from all three levels. And that is exciting. I think that's really exciting. And I love the mentality. There was 247 did a breakdown of one of the championship games that he was in. And there were other, 4 and 5 star recruits there, and they had such positive things to say about his motor and his energy and what he brought to that team. Sign me up. If there's a guy like that that can bring that to Boston College, that's a good thing. I'm not too worried that it took this long. He was originally committed to Wofford, so he's more, he had some local interest. He decommitted from Wofford, and I think it was kind of a race near the end for Elijah Strong. His coach was tweeting out a lot of the interest that he was starting to gain. He was on, he came on campus last week. He did an official visit, I think, for a couple of days and didn't commit right away. And for me, who guy covers recruiting, that's usually like an uh-oh, there's something else going on. Usually if a kid loves a school after an official visit, they'll lock in so they don't lose their spot. But he didn't. And the reason, more of why I got nervous was I heard Rick Pitino sniffing around, right? I think I said this on another episode. He had a Zoom call with St. John's. Rick Pitino is going to run St. John's like a money factory, right? Well, he did that. He also started getting interest from Vanderbilt, which has had good programs in the past. They're SEC. So, anytime you see some of these other schools starting to sniff around, you start to worry. Well, if you saw my crystal ball, I had a crystal ball in last night. It was going to be BC. This was going to be a BC get for the Eagles. And he fits into what I think is the perfect mold for BC. Like, you go back to the Craig Smiths and Jared Dudleys, a kid that is under recruited, who has a huge drive and can develop into a big time player. And someone who can really help the program. So I don't expect him to be like to jump in right away and be a star. We saw some really high recruits last year, take some time to develop. I think he'll take a little bit of time, but if you trust what Earl Grant is doing, he's going to get some things going. So a good get for BC. Really exciting. He'll probably be more of an end of the bench, I imagine. I don't know. Maybe there, once he gets on campus, we'll see what happens. But kind of like an Armani Mighty Armani Mighty and Devin McLaughlin take a little bit of time to develop. Now, I just realized when I was talking about Post, one piece I didn't get to talk about Quinton Post, we'll go back a little bit, was him thanking Friends of the Heights. As someone who covers recruiting and transfer portal news, I haven't seen anyone thank them yet. So I am very curious. That's the NIL group for Boston College. You know, they just started about a year ago, and their goal was to keep guys here. So they must have been able to put together some sort of financial package for Post. And that's great. That's exactly what BC needs, right? They may be able to, I don't see BC luring kids here like a Texas A&M with big financial packages, but being able to get the guys you want, keeping them here and not losing them because of money, I think is a good thing too. I think that's a good thing. So this is good. I'm also curious too. Post is here on a work visa. I don't know how they worked around that, but we'll have to wait and see. Now in our final segment, let's look at where BC basketball is at. Now that a lot of the chips have fallen, what does BC have? Where does BC go from here? And, you know, what does 2023 start to look like for Boston College? And what's some realistic expectations given what we just saw? We'll get into that in just a moment. Locked On BC, AJ Black here. Thank you all so much for listening. And again, those everydayers, those guys right there, if you're listening live right now, or if you're replaying this on YouTube, my guys out there, I'm going to shout out my everydayers like Bruce McLaren, Marty Party's always out there, Len Suber. Thank you all who join us every day to talk BC sports, who make your thoughts known. Thank you so much to each and every one of you. Now, let's talk about the 2023 season. It's coming up in six months, half a year. We already know a few things. We have all but one roster spot locked up. Will BC go out and get a wing or some established wing? I think that's probably, if they're going to get another guy, it's going to be something like that. A guy 6'6", 6'7", who can shoot, kind of stretch the floor. But they've got their roster basically set. At guard, you have Jaden Zachary, Claudel Harris, the transfer from Charleston Southern, DJ Hand, who is basically getting a new guy out there who can stretch the floor, Chaz Kelly, and Fred Payne, a true freshman. At wing, you've got Prince Eligby, Devin McLaughlin. Mason Madsen's another guard. And at center, you have Quinton Post. You have Armani Mighty and Jaden Hastings. So I think another wing might be a good thing to get. Now, we know that the team is going to go on a European tour. They haven't announced what it is, and I don't have any insight into this. I haven't who was it? Claudel Harris announced it when he was talking to 247 that they were doing that. But we don't know where they're going to play, but that's what a lot of big teams do. We know that. We also know that they're going to play in a multi-team tournament against teams like Creighton and Colorado State. I think they also are going to play Central Connecticut next year too. So we're starting to see some pieces put into place. What are some realistic expectations? This is year three for Earl Grant, and we've seen development. We saw this team go from exciting, but not winning a lot of games their first year to a 500 team last year, to where are they going to be this year? You've got Post back. You've got guys developing, guys like Devin McLaughlin, guys like Jaden Zachary. What can we realistically expect? What do you think? I think NIT is the floor at this point. I think you have to be able, like when you have one last chance with a guy that's a star like Post, the NIT has to be like, that's like the worst case scenario. I mean, worst case scenario is he gets hurt and everything falls apart, but like all the chips on the table, that's that. I think the ceiling is that this is an NCAA team, folks. They were only a couple games away from being in that conversation last year. And there were injuries all over the place. Now that they're hopefully going to be healthy, and that's going to be a big key. You can't lose guys like Quinton Post for a long period of time. You had Damar Lankford go out for periods of time. You know, DJ Hand missed the entire season. Those key contributors have to be able to play. They can miss time here and there, but you need every guy there and ready to roll. I think the tournament is not an unreal expectation. What you have right now is a team that's gelled, that has found its identity, and with Quinton Post out there, is fun to watch. I mean, let's be honest, folks. They're fun to watch. I liked watching them. They come back. They never seem like they ever said die. And they played with a lot of heart. And they're just going to keep getting better, I think. I think you're going to see guys like Devin McLaughlin really grow into something. And guys like Chaz Kelly. Chaz Kelly, I thought, showed glimpses last year, but he was a true freshman. Just takes 1 year, you know, getting your college, into the college body shape, getting used to that flow. Get him out there with Donald Hand. All of a sudden, you're going to see some things. They're going to need to replace some stuff, though, right? Mekhi Ashton-Lankford, I think, first and foremost, you need to address that, right? You need a guy who can slash. I think Claudell Harris will do that. DeMar Lankford, I don't want to trash him because I think he was a good player at times, but he's replaceable. CJ Penna was, end of the bench kind of guy. So you really didn't lose. In TJ Bickerstaff, you need a big that can get in there. And he offered very little in terms of offense. So maybe Armani Mighty might be able to do that. Or Devin McLaughlin gets to do that more. But I think all the pieces that they lost, Mekhi Ashton-Lankford is the big one. But if Claudell Harris can do that, you're not taking a step back and hopefully trying to take a step forward. You're right where you're at. You just got to start winning. And we'll say this throughout the summer. They've got to eliminate the WTF losses. Like, that's become part of BC history. But if this team wants to make a tournament, they need to have a clean sheet. They need to go out there and win all those games against, mid-level teams like Merrimack and Stonehill and all those other teams in the state, Central Connecticut. They can't afford to make bad losses. So that's just my thoughts of where BC's at. But this is an exciting time, right? You're feeling good about the program. You're feeling really good that Quinton Post is back. So that's where things are at right now. Now, this weekend, it's going to be probably a little bit quiet. I saw women's lacrosse currently is losing to Syracuse and women's lacrosse, but I don't really talk about that, but they're losing. Baseball has a big excuse me. Baseball has a big series against UNC this weekend. They got to figure things out because they're really, they're hitting the slope hard. They got to start pulling together some wins. They're not going to be top 25 after this weekend, it doesn't look like, but that's a little disappointing. And football, kind of in a holding pattern in terms of recruiting. As I said on yesterday's show, they're going to start looking at transfers. I haven't seen any new names out there, but I want to go over some of the comments before we head out. Bruce McLaren said, "Sorry, I haven't been in the streams recently. I've been watching them as videos because I have been busy, but this is super exciting." Yeah, it's a big day for BC basketball, right? And he also says, is the NCAA tournament ready? Marty Party says, "Hoops seems to be on a bubble trajectory." Yep. And he also says, "Last European tour reaped great results." So that's going to wrap up our conversation. And I also wanted to say that after yesterday's episode, when I talked about Sean Battle and his transfer, and I saw a couple comments saying I didn't give the reason. Look, folks, so the reason I said Sean Battle transferred was there was difficulty transitioning to college, and especially on the field. The reason specifically, he's an 18-year-old kid. I'm not going to go out there and blast him or tell you all the details of it. But I do want to say, from what I know, it's like I see everyone just going bananas on Halfley on this stuff. It's not a Halfley thing. It really isn't. When you bring 18-year-olds from across the country, sometimes it just doesn't work out. And it's not on the coaching. It's natural. It's development. And sometimes it's the kid. It's the kid just is like, I'm done with this and wants to leave. It's not that Halfley could have done something or fixed something and really done, everything going on. I see people saying I didn't give an answer. I did give you an answer. I told you what I know. There's specifics I'm not going to get into out of respect to the kid. And I hope you guys can understand that, right? I'm not going to give out any specific details. I don't think it's fair to him. So you just got to say good luck and hopefully he does well wherever he ends up. All right. On Monday's episode, every one of you who's listening every day now, we will be talking about all the news from this weekend. Hopefully we will have some updates on transfers. We'll look at some more news of things going on the weekend and get ready, folks. It's NFL draft season and we're going to have the draft coverage starting up next week. Now, if you like NFL draft news, we have an NFL mock draft that you should check out. It's here and it's bigger than ever. Follow along on all 32 teams. First pick in a six episode ultimate mock draft experience only Locked On can deliver. All episodes are available now on Locked On NFL Draft on YouTube or wherever you listen to podcasts. Definitely check that out. All right, I'm heading out. Follow me on Twitter at AJBlack_BC. I'm just like you guys now. I don't have a blue check mark and I ain't paying $8 for it because I like my money and I don't need that thing. So thank you all. I will see you all again on Monday. Take care.